Today on Real Radio.
Why didn't you run when you had a chance? I don't know. Yeah, you do know. You wanted that thing. You wanted it. You saw it. It had a glimmer to it. Or you thought that he would make you happy. Or she would make you happy. And you went for it. God said, don't do it. But you went for it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, the final commandment, number 10, if you will, states that we're to covet nothing that belongs to our neighbor. Of course, you know our Maker has many divine attributes, not the least of which is that He is the great provider of all our needs. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with a look at the 10th commandment.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus speaks about the commandments of God. He says, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets." The totality of the Bible. "I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Those are the words of none other than Jesus Christ himself. Now, Exodus 20, verse 17. Exodus 20, verse 17, the 10th commandment. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." The 10th commandment. Perhaps in a way, more than any other commandment, this 10th and final commandment sums up the 10 commandments in spirit. Kind of covers all the bases. If I were to say tonight, or if you were to say tonight, "You know what? I've been doing pretty good, Pastor. I've been going down these 10 commandments. I've been checking off the list as I march through them, and I think I've kept all 9, and I'll be listening tonight to see if I've kept the 10th one too. And when it's all done, I'm rooting for myself that when I come to the end of tonight's message, that as I size myself up against the 10 commandments, it might very well be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and me and eternity, and it's going to be great." And listen, if you're thinking that, you've missed the entire spirit of the 10 commandments. The tragic thing is, I've not only met people who told me they've kept the 10 commandments, I, not too long ago, had a man in the foyer of this church come up to me and tell me that he has not broken one commandment of the 10 commandments. And I looked and I said, "May I shake your hands?" And he shook, he was a tall guy, that's why I keep going like this. I shook his hand and there was a woman standing next to him, and she was smiling, and she had a little bit of a sheepish look on her face. And I said, "Is this your husband?" And she said, no, "That's my boyfriend." And I said, "Oh, I'm curious. You have kept the 10 commandments." He goes, "I've kept them." And I said, I'm sorry. You just set me up for this. I've got it. I don't know you guys. Never seen you before. Well, we're visiting for the first time today. I said, "Oh, it's nice to meet you. But I've got to ask you something. And don't be upset with me for asking, but you really set me up to ask, how close are you guys as boyfriend and girlfriend anyway?" And he looks at me, and he's got a big smile on his face. He's a guy. He's just lying right at me. And I looked at her. I go, "You guys having sex?" And she just goes like this. And then she looks at him. And I said, "Come on." The guy stood there and justified his position. He believed that he's kept the Ten Commandments. The Bible says in Galatians 3:22, "But the scripture has confined all under sin." Every one of us has been marked a sinner according to the commandments of God. "That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." You cannot get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. But before faith came, says Paul, we were kept under guard by the law. That is, the law convicted us. kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor, pedagogus in Greek, one that drives you from itself to another. And so the law was the tutor to bring us to Christ, to drive us to Jesus. That's what the law is for, that we might be justified by faith. You will never be justified by keeping the law because you and I cannot keep the law. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 goes on and says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. I met that guy. That was the guy I was just talking about. He believed that he was not a sinner. And the Bible says that the truth's not in you, if that's the case. This commandment stands alone on one end of the commandments, as the first commandment does, so the 10th commandment stands as a granite bookend holding the commandments together. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me. That's number one. And this 10th commandment says, you shall not covet. The word covet here in Hebrew is, listen to this, it means to imagine, to lust after, to meditate upon that which belongs to another. Imagine daydreaming about someone else's husband or wife or possession. To take delight in something or someone of hopes to obtain. The word means a pleasant thing, pondering in your mind, but it's unsanctioned. A precious thing. It means to burn with wantonness regarding someone or something. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, the Bible, might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. As believers, we have been granted the power now that when we have a tempting thought and the breaking of the 10th commandment, we can ask God, the Holy Spirit, to bring our minds and our meditations and our thinking under the control of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I want you to think about you being a Christian, about this commandment and history. When I think about history, I mean this. The Bible teaches me that Lucifer goes by Satan, Diablos, the devil. Sin, this 10 commandments sin. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28:15 and Isaiah 14:12, it says, you were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created. Imagine that. Lucifer, the great archangel, was created in perfection. He was perfect till iniquity was found in you. Isaiah 14:12 says, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. What was his great sin? He coveted the position of God. And you can read those two chapters later in totality. It's amazing insight into the personage of Satan himself. The Bible teaches me that Eve sinned this 10th commandment. In Genesis 3:6, the Bible says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And you know the story. She had been lied to by Satan, and when he dropped the bomb on her, that if you just love God, yeah, fine, but just understand, God's a little insecure. He doesn't want you to partake of this fruit, because if you do, you'll be like him. By the way, beware of doctrines that tell you you can be like a God. And so she went for it. She fell for the sin of covetousness. The Bible teaches me that Adam sinned this 10th commandment. It goes on in chapter 3, verse 6, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Interesting. Both of them sinned. Eve sinned, and Adam transgressed. Did you know that Adam's sin was technically worse than Eve's? She was tricked, but she disobeyed God. She had sinned, she comes over to Adam and she invites him to partake of the new world she's in. And he went for her rather than obeying God. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, what would have happened if he wouldn't have? I don't know. But you would have had two human beings, one completely fallen, and the sin positive action now is at work in her life. She's dying. Think of it. Eve sinned and died spiritually in that second. She realized she was naked. By the way, the ancient rabbis teach, and I actually believe this, I think there's some grammatical evidence for this in the Hebrew language, that Adam and Eve were completely clothed in light. When she partook, all of a sudden she knew. When Adam partook, all of a sudden he knew they were naked. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. Were they walking around with clothes on? No. But they must have been walking around with something that clothed them. And the old rabbis tell you that it was none other than light. I think that's rather romantic, because 1 John tells us that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. Interesting thought, huh? I like it. Adam sinned, the sin of covetousness. The Bible teaches me that Cain sinned this 10th commandment. The Bible says in Genesis 4, verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Why do you have this sad look on your face? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. The word means sin is actually pursuing you, Cain. Watch out. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. The first physical murder on the planet. Why? Because of covetousness. That desire to have something, that longing, that burning to have something that somebody else has. The Bible teaches me that Abraham sinned this 10th commandment. In Genesis 20, verse 10, the Bible says, then Abimelech said to Abraham, why did you have this, or what did you have in your mind that you have done this sin and lied? That is, Abraham lied to Abimelech about Sarah. Remember, Sarah was such a cutie? She was so cute that Abraham was scared or concerned that for his own life, somebody might kill him to take his wife. And so Abraham lies to Abimelech and says, oh, that's my sister. And he says, well, that's cool. She's cute. She can come into my harem. Abraham lied to save his own skin. And God visited Abimelech and said, don't touch the woman. In fact, I've withheld you from touching Sarah. And Abimelech, I mean, he was a pagan dude. He said, God, I don't know who you are, but I'll obey you. I'll do anything you say. I didn't touch her. And that unbeliever goes to Abraham and says, what are you, some kind of a lunatic liar? Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? He sinned, the sin of covetousness, whereby he would have done anything to protect his own self, even apparently to some degree of sacrificing Sarah to the desires of Abimelech. The Bible teaches me that King David sinned the 10th commandment sin in 2 Samuel. In fact, we'll keep alluding to him from this moment on because it's such a textbook perfect representation of it. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. And that's Bathsheba, and you know the story. And from that moment on, his life goes down the tubes. David, look, read your Bible carefully. David's life stunk after that. It was terrible. The Bible teaches me that Jack has sinned this 10th commandment. In my mind, in my heart, if I go, oh, wow, look at that. Or, hey, wow, boy, I wish I had one of those. It all stems from not being content. The 10th commandment is something that every human will struggle with if we are not maintaining a heart full of contentedness toward God and among one another. And that's what we're going to learn tonight. I think it's going to be important to us. The 10th commandment, jot it down if you're a note taker. Number one, what were we thinking when we covet? What were we thinking when we covet? He says You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant. You say, well, we don't have servants today. Well, in this country, we don't, thank God. It's true in other parts of the world. And female servants. But, so insert dishwasher and microwave. I mean, they were used for household menial tasks then. His ox, lawnmower. You shouldn't cover your neighbor's donkey or Mercedes-Benz or nor anything else that your neighbor has. His clothes, his status in life, nothing. The Bible says, get your eyes off of other people. Don't look, don't go there. Why? What are we thinking when we covet? When we can be in a room right here, right now. We could be right now. And you heard the topic and I've lost you for the last 10 minutes. You've been like, I don't think I'm coveting anything, but maybe that one thing. It's sometimes subtle. And there's that vein of we're not exactly complete. We're not fulfilled. And you know the world out there is coveting all the time. We know that. It's in a constant rage to get something to satisfy that. But listen to this. What were we thinking when we covet? Well, a few things we'll consider. We're thinking that we'll never fall into that sin. That's one of the things about coveting, that we'll never fall into that sin. We're thinking that that's not going to happen to us. We won't fall into that. This is a great plague for our human psyche. We think it's someone else. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If you think that you're, listen, strong enough, and you don't need help, and you don't need to be careful about this issue. The Bible says, watch out. That's a dangerous area for you. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You ought to circle that. Are you being tempted tonight? Has someone been tempting you? Has your flesh? Is there some temptation hammering you? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Temptation comes from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil. It does not come from God. But the Bible tells us God has provided a way for us to escape against that onslaught. So when somebody covets someone or something and takes it or is with them, and then they're busted. Why did you do that? They're asked. Why'd you do this? I don't know. Yeah, you do know. Why didn't you run when you had a chance? I don't know. Yeah, you do know. You wanted that thing. You wanted it. You saw it. It had a glimmer to it. Or you thought that he would make you happy. Or she would make you happy. And you went for it. God said, don't do it. But you went for it. And you know exactly why you went after it. But we tell ourselves, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to fall into that sin. It's not going to happen. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the, what? Deceitfulness of sin. Remember how sin was pursuing Cain? And God says, Cain, watch out. It's pursuing you. It's coming after you. What does it look like? Isn't it freaky? Does it like move in the shadows? I'm being silly, of course, but is it not in the thoughts? Is it not in the desires of the flesh? We know that it is. Right now, no matter how powerful and strong the most saintly saint we have in this sanctuary tonight, if they were to let their heart or mind go, take down the restraints of your spiritual guard and let your mind go, the flesh begins to plan on how it can pull off a stealing of something or a grabbing of something. It also says there to us that we're thinking that we'll be able to handle it. If you cross that line of, well, I'll never get involved in that, and now you find yourself in it, then the next lie that we give to ourselves is this: I'll be able to handle it. It's okay. I was once a raging alcoholic, but I'm going to go into this bar to get a cup of Pepsi or drink. Don't do it. Don't go there. Oh, look at those two guys. They're in a fight over there. And I used to have a horrible temper like that. I'll go break it up. I'll take care of it. You should be the last person who goes. Don't do it. I can handle it. If anyone you know, or if you're here tonight and you're saying, oh, we're just being flirtatious, I can handle it. Slippery slope, friend. Is God speaking to any one of us tonight about the 10th commandment? You shall not covet these things, because it's interesting. As it is the bookend and the first commandments on the other end, you want to love God more in the first commandment and ask God, Lord, fill my heart with more love for you, because I want to avoid everything in between and I want to end well regarding the 10th commandment. You see, well, Jack, you just said we can't keep it. Yes, but when you sin in thought, don't let it go any further than that. If it sins, if you sin in your thought, and you will, grab it and say, Lord, forgive me. Bring that thought under the captivity of Christ, the Bible says. Let Jesus reign in your thoughts. Listen, church family, do we all know this? That God sees everything. He's not waiting for the DVR to come on or for you to press the remote, and then he's cued into what's going on. No, he knows your thoughts. He knows what you dream about, what you think about. He knows what you've been coveting. And he's warning. But we often say we can handle it. The dangers of what we allow ourselves to see, it's a scary time. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, the Bible says, do not lust in your heart after the immoral woman, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Don't you love the Bible? Is that not? That should be on the wall of every high school college class. If I was a teacher, I'm sure the ACLU would be after me. I'd put that up there. That could save a person's life. Well, I just believe kids should just experience all the things in life that they want to. We're to be parents. We're to love them, guide them, protect them, and listen. You remember when you were like, I don't know, I'm old now, so. But what is it, 12, 13, 14? I don't remember. When things begin to happen, hormones begin to change. I mean, you're like a kid, you know. I'm like playing army and throwing rocks at people and you know, blowing stuff up. And then the next day, what is that? Is that a girl? Their hair smells different. Have you noticed? Did you remember that? What is that? Something's going on. And then from that time on, I don't know when, from that time on, for the guys, 20, 25, I don't know when, they're just nuts. They're not normal. They're not right. You can't think right. You can't make decisions correctly.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the last of the Ten Commandments, which says that we're not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor. There's more to come in this lesson that takes a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. So please be sure and join us on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, you might be thinking about going through this topical series by Pastor Jack once again, or maybe two or three times again, or maybe you just missed a few parts here and there. Well, here at Real Radio, we offer this series on the Ten Commandments on an MP4 DVD for the price of just $25. But for the month of May, this MP4 DVD is yours for a gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Now, of course, an MP4 DVD means that you can view the series on your computer or right there on your smartphone. So again, that's Pastor Jack's entire 13-part series on the Ten Commandments for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. How do you get yours? Well, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll see right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call, the number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.